Genesis chapter 37, reading from verse 12. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." The man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Amen. We end our reading there at the end of chapter 37. What an interesting character Joseph is. A life that was marked with ups and downs, with many trying experiences. And yet in the midst of them all, a man who proved himself to be a man of integrity and forgiveness. And it was, of course, Joseph's early years that we were thinking about last Sunday night when we looked at the relationship he had with the father, the rejection by his brethren, the response to his dreams when he told his brethren and father what would happen in days to come. Tonight we return to those verses again as we look at Joseph's betrayal by his brethren. There is no doubt that in Joseph's life things had been very difficult up to now. But things were progressively getting worse as far as his relationship with his brethren was concerned. Of course, the father's coat of many different colors didn't help the situation, but as his brothers became more antagonistic towards Joseph, things for him were to get worse and worse. And tonight we want to look at these verses I've read to you here in Genesis 37. And I want to see how the story unfolds and see some things that I hope will be helpful for all of us, both saved and unsaved alike. Look first of all at the task that was entrusted to Joseph. As he grew up, he had often been at home while his brothers, the older brothers, went out to tend their father's sheep. And I'm sure for the brothers that this was a good thing for them, because at least Joseph wasn't with them. This dreamer would not be returning home to carry tales to an aging father. However, on one occasion, they were away much longer than was intended, and their father became worried, and he began to wonder about the whereabouts of Joseph's brothers. And so he decided to send Joseph to find them. And of course, for a young teenager, that was a great responsibility. But as the story unfolds, there are three things about Joseph that I want you to note. They're very simple, but they're also challenging. The first is this: he was willing to listen. He was willing to listen. Look at what it says in verse 12 and 13. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here am I." We noted last week that the relationship between Joseph and his father was a very special one. And there is no doubt that he had not just a respect for his father, but he had a willingness to obey him. He was a young teenager growing up in a very difficult situation. He was despised by his brothers and rejected by them. And even though as a young man he could have thrown up his head and rebelled and rejected the wisdom and counsel of his father, that wasn't the case as far as Joseph was concerned, because when the father came to speak to him, as he obviously did, and shared with him his concern about the brethren who had not yet returned, he was willing to send Joseph, and he talked the matter over with him. And of course, Joseph was a young man who was willing to listen. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us about the importance of listening. Sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. But the Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion said this to those that he was ministering to. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let him hear. You see, it's good that we listen. And the most important thing of all in life is that we listen to the Word of God. After all, the psalmist tells us that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. So if we want to know how to live, and we want to know how to walk, and we want to know what God expects from every single one of us, it is important for us to come to His Word and for to listen to what it is that God is saying to us. You might say to me tonight, "Well, why is it important for me to listen to God's Word? Why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to Him?" Well, there are all kinds of reasons for that. I'll make them very simple. First of all, God's Word reveals to us what God is like. It tells us how high and how holy God is, and how unlike Him we are. For as you and I think about the revelation of God's Word concerning the holiness of God, Him who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, the Word of God also reveals to you and me what we are like. Sinful, separated from God, living under the condemnation of God, children of wrath by nature. That's what the Word of God says. So it's important not only that we learn to know what God says about Himself, but what God says about us. Because so often we see the best in ourselves, but we don't really see ourselves as we really are. And sometimes when the Word of God is preached to us, And when the Word of God confronts us and challenges us about our sin and our state before God, we don't listen. Well, we need to listen tonight. For just as God is high and holy, you and I without Christ are living in our sin, separated from God. But you know something? The Word of God also tells us that despite the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Jesus Christ is the answer. We've been singing tonight, "From heaven you came, helpless babe." Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners like you and me. That's what the Word of God says. That's why it's important that we listen. And not only did Jesus Christ come into the world to save sinners like us, but Jesus Christ is the only one who can save us from our sin. That's why he went to the cross at Calvary. But that's why tonight we need to think about him, the person of Christ, the one whom God sent into the world to be our Savior. Jim related there about a friend who spoke about religion, and Jim's response was right. This isn't about religion. This is about a person. This is about the one who came to die on the cross for our sins. This is the one and the only one that you and I can know, and in him know our sins to be forgiven. I hope you're listening. Because you see, whatever you think about God and whatever you think about yourself and whatever you think about your sin, you need your sins forgiven. Jesus Christ has come to deal with your sins at the cross. You could be saved tonight and your sins all forgiven. But that will be on account of Christ and on account of Christ alone. Are you willing to listen tonight to the Word of God, to the way of salvation, and to the way that you can be saved in time and for the whole of eternity? He was willing to listen. Here's the second thing about Joseph. He was willing to go. Willing to go. It would seem likely that Jacob had considered the whereabouts of his sons, and he talked the matter over with Joseph. And even though Jacob knew the dangers involved for Joseph, he was still willing to send him. But Joseph was willing to go. He turns around and he says, "Here I am." He was willing to go. He knew the concern of the father for his brothers. He knew the obvious dangers that he would have to face. He knew the distance he would have to travel. But Joseph was willing to go because the welfare of others was on his heart. I can't help think, but that's a lovely reminder of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He was willing to come. Willing to come into this world. He who shared the glory of the Father in heaven. He who enjoyed the Father's fellowship. He who had been engaged in the work of creation. He knew about God's plan of salvation. And in order for sinners to be saved from their sin, and knowing that the salvation of sinners would take him to an old rugged cross to experience the most horrific death that anyone could ever experience, still he was willing to go. That is, from heaven to earth. Willing to go. And that's why he came. That's why he grew up amongst men. That's why he lived a sinless life. That's why he went to the cross. And that's why in his death he opened up a way for sinners back to God. The Lord Jesus Christ knew before he ever left the splendor of heaven that to come to this world of sin would take him to the cross. And yet he willingly came, and he lovingly came to die for you and me. Joseph, he was willing to listen. He was willing to go. He was willing to love. I mention this just in passing for the good of all of us who are Christians tonight. He was asked to do something that was not easy for him to do. First of all, it was quite a distance for Joseph to travel in order to find his brothers who had left Shechem and moved on to Dothan. Shechem was about 60 miles away from the valley of Hebron. When his brothers had moved on to Dothan, that was a further 12 miles for Joseph to travel. But you know, secondly and more importantly, Joseph was going to meet his brothers, not knowing what their reaction might be. After all, his brothers had treated him terribly. More than one occasion, they'd expressed their feeling of hatred. And yet, despite all that they had done, Joseph was willing to go to them. And he loved them despite what they had done. I think that's a lovely picture, do you not? You see, like Joseph, difficult though it is to do, and hard though it is for us to accept, like Joseph, we should reward evil with good. That cuts against the grain, doesn't it, of the thinking of our world. As far as the world's concerned, it's not about forgiveness. It's not about love. It's about getting even. That's the spirit of the age. Joseph teaches us something different here. The Word of God demands something different. It demands something better of those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. And we should be willing to forgive others despite the hurt they cause. We should be willing to reach out a hand of friendship to those who despitefully use us. We should be willing to smile at others even when they have a frown on their faces. And you ask me, Pastor, why should I do that? Well, the simple reason is that Jesus taught that. That's it. Jesus taught that. During his own earthly ministry, you'll see what he had to say about building relationships, about our treatment of others. It's radical. It goes against the grain of our thought. It goes against the spirit of the world. It's not something the world today understands. But the Christian must understand that. Because Jesus taught it. And he didn't just teach it. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and coming into the world to save sinners, he was despised and rejected of men. People turned their backs upon him. They called him all kinds of things. They even said and attributed his work to Satan. And at times they begged for his blood. And they criticized and they did all kinds of things. And then they finally took him and they carried him there to the cross at Calvary and uplifted him. And as he dies that horrible death, before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ didn't just teach it. The Lord Jesus Christ showed it. Surely those of us who have experienced the forgiveness of God should know better than anyone else the need to forgive others. The task that was entrusted to Joseph, it seemed in many ways a very menial task, but he was willing to listen, he was willing to go, and he was willing to love. Here's the second thing. The tragedy that was enforced upon Joseph. While Joseph left in all good faith to do what the father had asked of him, things didn't go according to plan. Because as Joseph searched and then finally found his brothers, things take a tragic turn for the worse. Three things again, and then I'll bring it all together in closing. Number one, we see the plan. The plan. Look at what it says in verse 19 and 20. They said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what shall become of his dreams. His brothers, watching from a distance, seeing their own flesh and blood approaching, they planned as to how they could get rid of him. And they thought the best thing to do was to kill him and throw his body in a pit. Such was their hatred. They would have done anything just to get rid of him. It's not a nice picture, is it? And yet that picture takes us to another place and to another plan. And it takes us to another person, all with the same result. And that other man is the Lord Jesus Christ. That other time is the time of his approaching death on the cross at Calvary. Oh, you know the story well. You remember that just days before the Lord Jesus Christ was taken and uplifted to the cross at Calvary to die for our sins, you remember the people had lined the streets of Jerusalem. There he came on a little colt or a donkey in fulfillment of prophecy. And there he comes along the streets and they're casting things down before him as he comes. And they're waving and they're singing and they're praising. And they're turning around and they're worshiping him, praising his name. And that was just days before the time came when they begged for his blood. When the only thing that consumed them was the fact that this man should be put to death. People are fickle. The people who praised him soon cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And the people of Joseph's day showed that people can be fickle. The people in Jesus' day showed exactly the same thing. And they would have done anything in order to get rid of this man. The plan. The pit. Thanks to Reuben, the first plan was dropped. And then they took Joseph and they threw him into a pit. And while they left him there to die, they sat down to eat. You can hardly imagine that. That here is someone of their own flesh and blood, the youngest, apart from his younger brother. And he comes to them out of concern. And they see him coming and they're planning and scheming to put him to death. And when Reuben intervenes and says, "Look, that's not the way to do it," instead they put him in a pit. And there in the pit, their own flesh and blood lay, while they sat and enjoyed a meal together. You see, that reminds me of another picture. In fact, it reminds me of various pictures. I'm trying to watch the clock. It reminds me, and I'll mention two in passing. First of all, it reminds me of another pit. That's the pit that the psalmist refers to in Psalm 40. When he speaks about he being delivered from a horrible pit. A horrible pit. And how that in the pit God had taken him and lifted him out of that horrible pit and tuned him up and set his feet upon a rock. Friends, I'm going back tonight to what I said about sin. You and I are not just sinners, but we're living in our own horrible pit. Far from God, with no help on hand, left to ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is this, that God, in his grace and mercy, is waiting and willing to lift us out of that pit, to save us and to set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. He's willing to give us a new song to sing. He's waiting to give us a new life to live. And he'll do all of that if we'd only recognize the depth of the pit and the despair that we're in, and how that the grace of God can reach us where we are and transform us. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 40 as he speaks about the pit. But let me give you another picture, not of the pit, but of a place where People like Joseph's family were totally disinterested. There they sat enjoying a meal while their own flesh and blood is in the pit and they're unconcerned about him. They're not even concerned about what might happen to him. What a picture that brings of the group of soldiers who one day walked the Lord Jesus Christ up Golgotha's hillside. And there as he was lifted up to the gaze of a perishing world and dying for our sins on the cross, the soldiers are at the foot of his cross and they're gambling. Gambling. Wanted to see who could have the coat. Totally disinterested in what was going on around them. And unconcerned about this man, Jesus Christ. If you're still in the pit of your sin tonight, you can't afford to go on life without thinking about him. You might have come tonight totally disinterested in everything about him. But without him, you'll remain in your pit of despair. You need a Savior. You need someone who can take you out of that pit and set your feet on the way to heaven and home. The plan, the pit, the pain. Having sold their brother, which is what the story tells us, they went back home. They lied to their aging father. They told him Joseph was dead when he wasn't. They told him they had found his coat when it never had been lost. They told him he must have been eaten by a wild animal when they knew they had sold him. And they not only disposed of their brother, but they lied to their father. And Jacob believed it and it broke his heart. You might ask tonight, but how could they do such a thing? How on earth could they treat one of their own in such a despicable way? Well, I'll say two things quickly. First is this. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The hearts of Joseph's brothers were wicked. Their hearts revealed the kind of men they really were. They'd grown to resent him. They talked of him in derogatory terms. They were willing to do anything in order to get rid of him. You see, sooner or later, what's in the heart will show itself. And our hearts show the kind of people that we really are. How can a grandmother hide her grandchild's body knowing she's been murdered by her partner? How can men and women inflict on children so much pain and so many acts of perversion? I could go on and on tonight, listing one thing after another, awful things happening in our world, awful things happening within family life. How or why? Well, the hearts of men are wicked. They're deceitful. And man at his very best is a depraved creature. And sin will always take men further than they want to go. And sin that's not dealt with ruins and ravages many a life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ told us the real problem of humanity is the problem of the heart. That's why they did it. That's why they could do it. Here's the second thing. Be sure your sin will find you out. Why do I say that? Well, Joseph's brothers had lied in order to cover up their own tracks. Years later, they were found out. For Jacob would rejoice to see the son in his old age that he thought was dead. That's the way it is with sin. We reap whatever we sow. No hiding place. It doesn't matter whether it's a day or a week. It doesn't matter whether it's a year or a whole lifetime. We reap whatever we sow. You see, I'm getting older now, and sometimes I take what people talk about senior moments. You're laughing because you take quite a few of them yourself. You see, sometimes I don't remember things. Oh, maybe the next day I can still remember it in a week's time. It's away out of my head. But as far as God's concerned and our sin is concerned, it's a long road that has no turn. We reap whatever we sow. Doesn't matter how long it is, it will happen. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's absolutely certain. And Joseph and his brothers lived to prove it. Our sin might be hidden now, but one day it will be uncovered. Our sin might not concern us now, but one day it will be revealed, brought out into the open. And our sin might now be something we revel in, but one day it pays out its wages, and the wages of sin is death. Thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we should look into our hearts tonight. And as we seek to learn lessons from Joseph's life, we should listen to what God's word says. See ourselves as God sees us. See our sin as God sees us. Know that in Christ, you and I can be lifted from our horrible pit and saved for all of eternity. And if we don't, or if we won't come to Christ, and we continue in sin, be sure your sin will find you out. Joseph's betrayal by his brothers is a sad story in many respects, but it's one that teaches us important lessons for our own spiritual good.